This is DreamWords. Tom Corvin by Paul Storey.
Hello, I'm Paul Storey. I hope you're still enjoying Tom Corvin. If you are, please remember to vote at podcastalley.com. You can do so through my site at dreamwords.com. This is a monthly vote. Thank you. Now on with chapter 25. Still in the dream, Tess's grip on Tom tightened as though she had just gone into spasm. At the back of his head, the brace warmed to a dull, steady glow that seemed to wash through him like a relaxing drug. But, sensing Tess's anticipation, Tom knew that there was more to come, and he wouldn't like it one bit. He expected pain, but when the thing happened, it was beyond anything he could have guessed outside of his nuclear dreams. Somewhere in his head, a slight buzz grew and multiplied to a hideous hive swarming through his brain. He shook his head, an automatic reaction to the sense that a dozen insects had just crawled inside each of his ears, and the bees or wasps or bloated flies diverged to a polyphony of individual drones that roamed his brain, picking up and dropping off payloads as though workers sorting through an impossibly large store. Part of his mind seemed to drift with the vibrating acoustic points. They travelled through his bones, down his arms, to Tess on one side and to the malignant fingers clutching his on the other. The sound in his thoughts became little packages flowing between the three bodies, dropping bits of him and the girl and the man in a froth of mismatched egos. And then he saw himself through the man's eyes, and Tess too. And he saw anger, a constant anger, confused with a mix of awe and fear. Tom could not unpick the feelings, but they swirled with the furious buzzing and prickled the man's leprous skin every time he looked at the pair in the seats opposite him. A ball of light, large as a car, zoomed and left in an unknown sky. Words swished through black space and died. Two babies lay naked on purple heather. A hideous creature, barely alive, scooping the tiny bundles in his mottled arms. And then the questions. Anatomy, metals, electricity, stock, chemistry, nanotech, tools, money. The hive swarmed and plundered and drained the boy of life until he could take no more and lapsed into unconsciousness. Tom awoke to the sound of his mother's voice. It repeated a phrase he'd heard before. "Under the hagstone," he seemed to remember the beautiful ghost in his mind tell him. But with each repeat, it changed and cleared to become something different. Clearer and clearer still, until the phrase was Chinese whispered to something else.
"Under the hagstone. Under the hagstone. The hearthstone. The hearthstone.
Under the hearthstone." The light was dim now. Kneeling on the ground in the real world above the ruin, Tom looked at the object in his hand, the heart stone, the stone he made for his mother. Fighting the crippling image of his mother in the hands of the beast, his sister, Tess in the chair, and the buzzing drones in his head, he probed the ground at the point he'd found the pendant. Nothing made sense to him, but if there was the slightest chance of saving her, he had to try. She was dead. He knew that. She was a ghost, and so was his sister. But then he was alive, and so they could be too. Whipping the band from his head, he pushed the torch close to the ground and saw it immediately. A tiny recess, partially hidden under a flap streaked in Tom's blood, scratched by his reddied nails. It looked like a stone, but was a hinged cover hiding a rusted handle like a horse's stirrup. Upside down, its shaft buried in the ground, blood and grime encrusted. The fingers of his left hand curled around the bar and focused his universe on that one spot as though it had become a yellow and black handle under the seat of a burning pilot's plane. The metal groaned, screaming through the darkness as though he had broken its bones. The returning silence when it stopped, stretched like cotton wool over the mountains. The silence continued, even as a hole as big as a grave sank into the ground on a sloping floor that ramped down and inside the mountain. Tom jumped to his feet and stepped away from the opening. He took his torch and swung the beam forward, sticking his head out to peer as far as he could into the hole. He listened and heard nothing. The night had stopped, the sounds in his head gone. The moment, a pause in the universe before some cosmic cataclysm Tom could not fathom. He turned towards the cottage, hidden beyond the lip of the grass terrace. Ayrshire still twinkled at him, a merry hint of normality that belonged to everyone, it seemed, except to him. He walked down the hill, stopped and looked back up at the rocks. He should tell Catriona in case anything happened. But what could she do? This was his problem. He'd already brought her enough trouble. If he was sensible, he could have a quick look, stay close to the surface and be back in minutes. Knowing full well that he was kidding himself, he turned back up the hill, placed the torch band back on his head, edged towards the ramp, and walked slowly into the mountain.
DreamWorks.com.